From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.
To paraphrase Sir Alex, football, FPL. It's game week 5. Players are back from the international break and huge fixtures await. There's derbies in London, the Midlands and Merseyside. But will it be another brain-spraining round for fantasy managers? And what's the best way to ensure a big haul in any case? That and much more discussed in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. Thank you so much for joining us here. It's ahead of game week 5 of this Premier League season. I'm James Richardson. And oh boy, do we have a high-powered lineup for you today. Every word, really, of this podcast dripping with top FPL know-how. We've got Jack Lang, writer and FPL maverick. Hello, Jack.
Hi, James.
Nice to see you. Presenter, reporter and TV's face of FPL sometimes, Kelly Summers.
Hello, James. I think that intro is overdoing my FPL ability at the moment, but thanks. It was nice of you
to say that. Alongside you, bona fide legend of the selecting players for a made-up lineup to earn more hypothetical points than other people, game. Mark Southerns.
Hi, James.
Hi, Mark. Mark, you sound a bit glum. I've given you all the big build-up.
No, I'm not.
How have you actually? Are you not? Okay.
No, I'm just in shock, I think, from the season so far. Really?
Right. Yes, because for all of your collective credentials, you're not doing great. All right, Mark, 1.2 million in the world. Kelly, chuckling away there, 3.9. That's not a price. That's your position.
Thanks, James.
Globally in millions. And Jack, 2.9. So a lot of work to do. Have you been really busy over the international break?
Me? Not really. I've used this break to kind of recover from what I've seen so far and try and kind of analyse and observe, try and make sense of it. Because let's face it, there's been a lot of crazy stuff to take in. I just think it's been a very difficult start of the season for everybody. And, you know, normally by now you start looking at data and going, right, where are the patterns? Where are the trends? Who are the form players and teams? I think that's pretty impossible at the moment because of the unexpected events we've seen.
Is the big thing, the big change that we need to make to stop looking at fixtures and start looking at form more?
Well, it would be, but then you even when you look at form, you know, Leicester went to City and beat them and then get beaten at home by West Ham. So even form has been, you know, thrown out the window. I think we're just going to have to give it time, you know, 2 or 3 more game weeks.
Jack, what's been your approach over this international break?
Well, I've tried to mix a kind of inner zen confidence that things will improve with a little bit of soul searching, staring plaintively out to sea in search of inspiration. I actually haven't really looked at my mini league since the last game week because things went so badly. That's a kind of little mental crutch I have. I kind of just give myself a little bit of time away. I look at my team and I don't hate it. There's plenty about it that I like. And I think I'm just hoping that the randomness that we've seen settles down and that, you know, a solid, what I see is quite a balanced, solid squad will eventually come good, even if I seem to be missing out on big scores from certain players pretty much every week at the moment.
Kelly, you're not hanging around for things to settle down. You've gone straight in and played that wild card.
Well, James, as you so kindly pointed out, I'm almost 4 millionth in the world, so I don't really have time on my side. And for a few weeks now, I've considered wildcarding. The one thing that's made me hold off is the fact that Mark is the oracle of FPL still, as you said, and we've had a very similar team. And every week I've looked at it and been like, oh, he's only really got Grealish that's any different. But of course, as we've seen, having Grealish has been a big difference. And I was just, I did wildcard. I hate wildcarding early. I never, ever do. But so far this season, I followed the plan. My like new season resolution was to not panic. And I did all the moves that I anticipated. I took out Son that week for took out Aubameyang as well. And I did all the things I was meant to do for KDB. Mm-hmm. It hasn't paid off. And I had enough of not even getting 40 points, to be honest with you. So yes, I've wildcarded.
Brilliant. All right. Well, it'll be fascinating to A, hear who you've brought in, what your dream 15 is, and also get Mark Southern's reaction. Because if you've got broadly similar squads, Mark, why aren't you wildcarding?
Yeah. When I heard this, it really got me worried because, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had almost identical teams. And if Kelly thinks she has to wildcard, that worries me a bit. But I think what I've been doing is just taking hits to try and make 1 or 2 transfers per week. And even then, I think making transfers is difficult because, you know, people have taken Son out, then he goes and gets a big score at Southampton. They take him out and he gets a big score at Man United. It's very difficult to predict anything. So trying to predict selecting another 15 players scares the life out of me. I just don't think I
can. It's not been a very fun couple of weeks, I'll be honest with you. I tried to do the price rises because obviously that's the other benefit of doing it in an international break. So every night I kind of have a look at who's been the most transferred in. So it's a really good bedtime routine I have actually where I get in bed and it's the last thing I do.
Seriously, and then you make a transfer to bring them in just to try and catch a price rise overnight.
Yeah, and it's also things like I had Trent Alexander-Arnold and I took him out just because I thought maybe after shipping seven his price would go down and I'd get him at 7.4. But none of these moves have paid off. So I'm currently...
Who have you actually got then, Kelly?
Well, it's an interesting one.
You've done your wild card. What have you got at the moment?
But I haven't settled on the wild card. Can I just point out?
Let's hear. Come on, Kelly.
No, because I know why you're asking me this, James. So up front, as it stands, DCL and Kane. My third forward is not meant to play at the moment. It's Davis, but I'd like to bring that in to be Brewster. I just need to find some funds. The reason I need to find funds is because I've got a very appealing midfield. KDB, Salah, Son, Rodriguez, Grealish. One of those is going to have to be sacrificed. My back three as it stands. Chilwell, again, price rise, he'll go. Mitchell, Branthwaite is literally just there just because I need to fill the position. And I've got Martinez and I will have Villa's backup goalkeeper, but I've currently got too many Villa. So there's a lot to do before Saturday, James.
Well, yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going cheap in defence and piling money into midfield and forwards, and it is difficult to kind of make an argument against that at the moment. But my main argument would be, well, we could easily see everything turned on its head in a few weeks' time, and then suddenly you'll be wanting Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I will. When I say I'm going to sacrifice a midfielder, I'm going to do it so I can get Trent back in. I literally took Trent out because I thought after shipping seven, maybe I could be cheeky and get him a little bit cheaper if his price went down. It hasn't worked. It's not going to happen. So yeah, I will. I don't think I can do a wildcard team without Trent. You're right. So it'll be Trent, Mitchell and one other relatively cheap. I'm not even going to go as expensive as Chilwell though, because I just think there's more value until those trends happen. Then I'll have to have a reshuffle. But at the moment, I just don't think there's enough value in defence.
Jealous, Jack?
Not massively. I think it's very brave. But I started the season quite heavy in defence.
Did you?
Yeah, and I've still got, as we'll discuss when we talk about the Liverpool derby, I've still got the two big hitting Liverpool fullbacks, which is giving me a couple of sleepless nights at the moment. But equally, as Mark said, I mean, one game could really change perceptions about that. They both got attacking returns already. I don't think they're going to concede seven again, and I'm sure that game has led to a bit of a refocusing, I would hope, at Anfield. And you know, I wouldn't be overly surprised to see that balance pay off for me in the next few weeks. But I mean, I do listen to Kelly's midfield, and that does sound pretty damn good though.
Can anyone help me with which midfielder they think I should sacrifice from those? Because that's my challenge.
Give us the five again, Kelly.
Grealish, Salah, KDB, Son, Rodriguez.
See, I want to get rid of KDB and I really wish him best. But when I saw the injury news about him midweek, I almost felt like, yes, that now's my chance. Because it feels like the wrong thing to do. He is Mr. Reliable from Man City, but I don't know why.
Sometimes, it does feel nice to have your hand forced in fantasy because so much of it is about the endless possibilities and the opportunity cost and knowing, just having this inkling that whoever you ignore will score the points. And I do feel that when I know I have to make a certain transfer, when it's absolutely been made imperative, there's a nice hands off the wheel feeling to that, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, hands off the wheel explains why your team has taken the direction it has. But would you take out KDB? Who would be your choice, Jack?
Of those, given that Kelly's also got Calvert-Lewin, I would probably sacrifice Rodriguez just because even though Everton have been going well, I'm not sure about doubling up in the long term on them.
Okay, 18 points for him last game week. Of course, Mark, you were nodding. Hammer's out for you, yeah?
Yeah, Jack, spot on. Hammer's may not even start against Liverpool because he's coming back late from the Colombian trip. Seven touches in the box. I mean, that's ridiculously low. That tells me that, you know, he's got three goals so far, but he's not going to keep that rate up. And if you've got Calvert-Lewin, you've got effective cover of Everton. And I do think Everton will regress as well. I mean, they're not going to win the league, I don't think. They're not going to win every game like they have done. So you're going to see some regression amongst Everton. So going only with Calvert-Lewin would be my choice as well.
Okay, I've just done that transfer while I'm here. Now I've got 5.7 to spend on a midfielder. So that'll be what I'm doing after the pod.
Brilliant. No, just go for it now, Kelly. Let's hear live your transfer activity. While we're doing that, let me just mention that the league code to join us in the sort of Friends of FPL pod mini league is SMXYTY. As you've heard, it's an incredibly competitive league. So do come and have a go. Next up, let's hear about the Premier League fixtures as the competition swings back into action this weekend. All right then, game week 5 kicking off Saturday lunchtime, 12:30 at Goodison Park as Everton host Liverpool. So the deadline, of course, as you know, 90 minutes before that kickoff this season. So 11 o'clock UK time, Saturday morning, teams have to be in. Jack, you already mentioned this fixture a little bit and your concerns about having those two, that massive investment in the two big hitting Liverpool defenders. And we've touched there on the notion that James Rodriguez and his international commitments may mean that he's not even a starter here. Seems like a lot of people's expectations of this game may find themselves might be rather disappointed by reality come 12:30.
Yeah, potentially. I think it's I'm expecting a fairly cagey game. I mean, when a team concedes 7 goals, particularly a good team with a, you know, a switched on manager, there does tend to be a slight rebalancing of the defensive side. And you look at the last 3 times they've played at Goodison Park, 3-0-0s. The fact that it's an early kickoff as well, players coming back from international duty, as Mark said, I can't really see this being a goal fest. And actually, given the makeup of my side with those two Liverpool defenders, I would take a 0-0 here all day long, just because, you know, I'm happy that Robertson and Alexander-Arnold chip in with assists and goals, but it's the clean sheets that really make the your bread and butter of your defence. I haven't had many so far. They conceded a couple of sloppy goals. They could easily have had one against Arsenal if it wasn't for that Robertson error. And yeah, even with Salah and Calvert-Lewin in my team, you'll be seeing a very happy Lang household if it's a 0-0.
Some suggestion that Luca Dean may not make the Everton side either after he was wearing an ice pack after one of France's international games. What do you think? Is the goal fest going to come to a grinding halt at Goodison Park? Mark?
I think the issue here as well is that both Everton and Liverpool have got, you know, goalkeeper problems in that, you know, Pickford's form's in question. Adrian's come in and obviously there's doubts over his, you know, how secure he is and how nervous that makes a Liverpool back four on the back of that Villa score. But I think Jack's right. I mean, there's no way that Liverpool are going to be passive after that result. Klopp's going to be looking at shoring up the defence, perhaps dropping the line back 10, 15 yards and giving Adrian some protection in this game. They can't afford to lose a Merseyside derby. So it is going to be cagey and tight, I think. And I've got the two Liverpool fullbacks and Dean as well. So I'm going in with 3 defenders in that game, possibly. So I'm banking on a low-scoring game as well.
Kelly, tell us all about Spurs and West Ham. First off, have you got an eye on Gareth Bale for your wild card?
No, I'm not going that rogue yet. I did actually think the other day that maybe I'm a bit bold going Son and Kane with the imminent potential return of Gareth Bale. I don't reckon he'll start this weekend. I reckon he'll probably be on the bench at best. But yeah, that could add a whole other element into the Spurs attack. But I'm intrigued in this game because all of a sudden West Ham have found some form as well, which means I think both sides will score. I think Son and Kane have been in brilliant form. Maybe I'm saying this out of hope because I have got both of them. But Kane in particular was pretty much the first name I wanted in my wild card just because he's now providing assists as well. 6 goals, 3 assists for him. He's the top scoring forward with 44 points, only second to Son. And I just think that these are the games that he really steps up and he loves playing against London rivals. And he's having so many shots as well. It's not fluky. He's joint top for shots with Salah. He's had 10 shots on target more than any other player and 6 big chances as well, league high. So I think Kane all of a sudden is starting to justify that really expensive price. So I think the Spurs attack are really interesting because I still don't think West Ham's defence are particularly watertight, but I wouldn't discount West Ham in this game from scoring.
That's interesting. Kane, of course, coming back not from particularly long distance, just Wembley on Wednesday night, but play for the full 90 minutes to his manager's horror against Denmark. Interesting. Jack, what do you think? Do you buy into Mark's notion that West Ham could actually spring a surprise here and that people investing big, taking points hits to bring in Kane, etc., might be caught out?
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's a gimme fixture for Kane. I've had Son since the start, stuck with him through the injury worry, much to my subsequent delight, which was very nice. So for me, the Spurs situation is similar to the Everton one in that, you know, on their day, Spurs can score big, but they're not consistent enough for me to really be desperate to double up. So I would be happy to double up on, say, City during a purple patch or even Liverpool. But I think there are so many compelling options this season, so many teams that are capable of you know, going on runs and accumulating points, that the double up for Spurs, for now at least, doesn't quite convince me.
I hear what you're saying. They are the top two scorers in FPL. Spurs are facing West Ham, Burnley, Brighton and West Brom in the next four game weeks. So I can understand why people are so keen on that. But yeah, in this season, there are no certainties. Mark, for example, Aston Villa, who've been tearing it up and are coming into this weekend's games in second place. They have this trip to third place Leicester, which you regard as a key test of whether they are worth your FPL pounds.
Yeah, I think if Villa go to Leicester and get a result, then we're going to see them get even more attention than they have done in this week over the break. Grealish and Watkins, if they get something from this game, will fly, I think, because it's hard to build a case against the value that they offer. And it's interesting because I was considering getting Harvey Barnes over Grealish. And at one point, I regretted doing that. And if I hadn't have made my transfers going into game week four, I probably would have swapped Grealish out for Barnes, given that Barnes had better fixtures. So I'm glad that I'd already used my transfers up and didn't do that. So I think, you know, and when everyone's talking about Rodriguez as well as the key option in that bracket, you know, that sub 8 million bracket. But I think Grealish potentially could be an absolute FBL star this season. And I'm going to go early here, but I think, you know, a contender for player of the season. I think he's going to absolutely fly this season because he wants to get in Southgate's team. And I think against Leicester, he's going to show again what a great player he's going to be for FBL managers.
Man City taking on Arsenal. What are people doing with their Man City or Arsenal assets ahead of that one, if they have any? And what about this Kevin De Bruyne major doubt for the game business?
Well, I have De Bruyne and Phil Foden, so I'm feeling a little bit itchy at the moment. I think De Bruyne's injury, I'm going to risk keeping in my team for this week. I have, I think, just about enough cover on the bench to take that risk, especially after what happened with Son. But yeah, there are definitely other good options in midfield. And Foden, I brought him in just because I thought the price point was very nice. And he has been playing, which is obviously, you know, half the battle when it comes to City. I think he is someone that needs to score, really, or at least get an assist because of all the players around that 6.57 mark. You know, Grealish didn't look like a great option 2 weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, he is. So Foden, I think, will have to do quite well to keep his place beyond the next 2 or 3 weeks, even though he started the season quite well. So neither of those City players are particularly convincing me in my team, but they're going to stay for this week.
Okay, even with a tougher opponent like Arsenal, what do you think of Arsenal's prospects, Mark? Could they be the better team to opt for there?
I think, well, we know that Arteta will give them a hard game because he knows Guardiola's tactics, he knows a lot of their squad. So I think if De Bruyne is out, without him and without a recognised striker, I think this is a very difficult game for City. And they want to make a statement. It's almost like they're waiting for their week to actually go, look, we are going to be close, we're going to chase Liverpool all the way, but they haven't really had that opportunity yet. I mean, they've had, I think, three big chances so far only, and they had 11 by this stage last season. And they'd scored 14 goals after four game weeks last season. They've only got six so far. So they just haven't been able to take off. But I think, like Manchester United, eventually they're going to click and eventually they're going to be the factor that we expected in our FBL seasons. But I just don't see it happening for this game week, I think Arsenal will frustrate them. City will get the result, but I think it'll be a narrow victory.
Kenny, I know you're keeping an eye as well on Chelsea's clash with Southampton. Ralph Hasenhüttl concerned about the late return of many of his Southampton players, while Frank Lampard has this overabundance of talent with the likes of Ziyech and Pulisic now ready to return. Do you see them coming in? Have they been a factor in your wildcard thinking, Pulisic in particular?
Pulisic is one that I have been looking at. He's 8.3 million now in the game. He played just 7 minutes against Crystal Palace, but we saw at the end of last season just how good he was. And had he not started the season injured, he would have been the first name in my squad at the start of the season. I think he provided attacking returns in 7 of their last 9 matches of the season, 4 goals and 4 assists. During that, meant he averaged 5.1 points per match. We know how good he can be. And there's just a feeling with Chelsea that at some point this has to click. At some point, these players have to come together for me. It's ironic, isn't it, that they made all those signings in the summer, yet I'm still looking to someone from last season. But I feel like I've been saying it with Chelsea for quite a while. I had Werner for a very long time. I sold him for the last game week before the international break. And I'm not even considering him yet for my wild card. But I think Pulisic is one to look at for that fixture, definitely. And with Southampton and their high line, I do think that potentially, maybe this could be the game to finally spark Chelsea into life this season.
Mark and Jack, do you have players from either team? And what do you think about the prospects here?
I don't have players from those teams. Chelsea, I think I'm happy to stay away from at the moment. I think they will settle down eventually, but there are so many point-scoring players that I can't really convince myself to gamble on one even as good as Pulisic.
Mark?
Well, I had Pulisic and Werner at the start of the season, and you know, I thought that Pulisic was going to be available for the Brighton game, and then he broke down again in training just before, so that was a big blow. Like Kelly, I think he's the one to target. The price point's good, and at the end of last season he looked untouchable for them, almost Hazard-like. So I think that he's the one I'll be looking at. I've got Reece James still, and I'm really, really disappointed that he lost his place last time out, because I thought Reece James at 5 million was going to be a real star for us. And he was good in midweek for England. He was possibly man of the match in that game. So does he get back in the side? I think if Chilwell doesn't play, then maybe he can get back in at right back. But I've got my doubts, which is a shame, because he would have been great for FBL managers this season.
Mm. All right. Well, those are some of the games coming up in game week 5. Beyond the weekend, what long-term trends and fixture patterns and players' returns should we be keeping an eye on? I don't know, but I should have a better idea very shortly after we do the long view. Long view, everybody. FPL Manager, grab your fixture difficulty ranking chart at PremierLeague.com or on the app, and let's talk about what's in store beyond game week 5. I mentioned players coming back and available once more. Sergio Aguero now in training. Is he now imminent, Kelly? Is he going to become a factor in our decision making very, very soon?
It is, James, because he's currently just 10.4, which is the cheapest he has ever been. Harry Kane is a similar price point. So that was another reason I was trying to keep as much money as possible in the forwards, because if Harry Kane doesn't get the form that we saw in the opening few game weeks, then I can do that switch. However, I don't know how quickly he'll come straight back into the fold. That said, you could say with the way Manchester City have been playing and have been converting their chances that maybe Pep will actually have to rush him back. But that is definitely one for FPL managers to watch, because as soon as he starts scoring, that price will absolutely soar.
Well, in terms of the FDR chart and games coming up over the next 6 weeks or so, some interesting names there, some less beaten tracks as well in terms of looking for players. Palace have very decent fixtures, as do Fulham, Man United as well, Villa equally, and Everton. We talked a lot about some of those options last time out. Speaking of Palace, though, Mark, you have news about Patrice van Aanholt, which could have quite a big impact on another player who's widely held in the FPL community.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an FPL manager just came out right on Twitter and asked him whether he was still injured, and van Aanholt replied, "No, I'm back," which is nice. I mean, Patrick always contributes to the FBL community. He's quite active in that, and it's nice to see that interaction with a player. But actually, in this case, I think it's a player who's going to have a big impact, because obviously Mitchell's been a kind of budget mainstay in a lot of FBL lineups, and if Van Aanholt is fit, there's a good chance he's going to come straight back in at left back. He could be deployed further forward, but I don't see it. And I just think Van Aanholt's a key player, so I think he will return and come back in.
Palace's run is Brighton at home this weekend, then away to Fulham, then they have Wolves away, Leeds at home, Burnley away, and then Newcastle at Selhurst Park. Well, next up, a bumper mailbag awaits our midweek Twitter question, which was, which player that you don't own are you most scared of not owning? All right, Wednesday tweet time, which actually went out on Tuesday, Top Work there. So people had an extra day to ponder which player they were most scared about the fact they didn't have in their squads. Arteta Bull says, I pray Calvert-Lewin and Son don't score. I'm trying to go against the grain. Crikey, that's brave not having either of those two. IK says, I've got Salah, KDB and Son, but I'm scared of not owning James Rodriguez. Crikey, it's almost as if whoever you got, there's always someone.
This is my conundrum, James. This is me with my midfield right now, because I have all of those players, and it's like, which one to sacrifice? The problem at the moment is so many teams have been free scoring. And because of the inconsistencies that Mark spoke about before, it feels a risk whatever game week, whatever team you go in with each game week. And that's just part of being an FPL manager this season. I think it's just going to be a lot scarier every single week.
No, don't say that. FPL Sam says, Salah, I've never had him from the start and I don't think I will. Ooh. Can't have everybody, but I do regret it. Sam, get Salah.
Yeah.
Taco says, Calvert-Lewin, but I'm rooted to this hill. Hopefully very soon, 45% of you all will blank and I'll be waiting. Right. That's his ownership now. Is it 45% DCL? Interesting. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is Mohamed's choice as well. Mohamed says, he's on fire, but I still believe Vardy will come out on top, holding on to Jamie. There you go. I'm not sure if I would make that choice myself, but what do I know? Mark, who's the player that you don't have and are most concerned about when you see them play?
It's probably Kane, I would say, because I've been wedded to Kane for a lot of seasons. I have put a lot of faith in him. I always go Kane over Aguero, for good and bad. This season I haven't had him, and I don't really want to go that heavy up top yet. I want to spend my money in midfield and keep quite a strong defence, so I can't get him. And yeah, I'm not looking forward to the next three or four games, because I think inevitably he will return. I just don't think he's going to repay as much faith as being put in over the next, over this break. I think a lot of people are just completely ripping up their teams for him, and I do worry that he may not repay them as well as they're expecting.
I see. Kelly, what about you?
Well, there was too many players that I was worried about not owning, hence the wild card. For me, I think it was actually in the end just the Everton cover that really got me in the end, and Calvert-Lewin, just the form he's been in and the way he's progressed under Ancelotti, the types of goals he's scoring. So for me, it was Calvert-Lewin, hence the wild card.
So now you've done your wild card and you're worrying about a whole new set of players.
Well, I'm now worried that whichever one I don't have will be the one that returns, and the fact my team is so unbalanced as we've... Yeah, I'm going to be gutted whoever I have to drop. So it's been nice for a few days to be able to see this midfield in my team, even if they don't ever get a chance to play together, so to speak.
Chat.
For me, currently, Bruno Fernandes. So I took him out. Despite waxing lyrical about him the last time I was on the show, I took him out just because Man United weren't looking good enough to justify that kind of outlay. But now I'm just worried he's going to score a penalty a match until the end of the entirety of human existence, that I'm never going to get it.
Yeah, 12 points at Brighton, and they're taking on, they're away at Newcastle, who concede loads from set pieces. Of course, that's very much in Fernandes's wheelhouse. So you're not the only person who thinks that he maybe could be a big factor this weekend and in the weekends to come. Kelly?
I was just going to say, Jack, are you a little bit concerned that he maybe looks a little bit tired, though? I've really felt that in recent weeks. I had him pre-wildcard and I've got rid of him. Set pieces are what concerns me, but I just think in general he's not dictating the play quite as much for Manchester United as he was.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think a lot of the United players, in common with all of the teams who played European football into the summer, do look just a bit knackered, don't they? Yeah, I mean, I did take him out for a reason. I watched Man United's first two matches and didn't see that much attacking fluency. And I think when you're paying 10 plus, you want a player who's gonna be involved in potentially two, three goals, you know, every other week or so, and I didn't see United doing that. Obviously, he's punished me since with the penalties, and the attackers they've got, that's always going to be a possibility, isn't it? So, you know, I'm sure I'll have him in at one point, but until then, I think it's going to be a slow drip, drip, drip of torture.
All right. That sounds like, you know, FPL summed up, slow drip, drip, drip of torture with the odd flash of genius. Who's up next for a quick round of essential differential? Hey, listeners. So our panelists are prepared to reveal their low ownership secret weapons for game week 5 on the condition that you don't tell anybody else. Okay. So with that sorted, Kelly, let's hear it. Whisper.
Okay, well, I'm not going to whisper because you literally won't hear me, but we've all waxed lyrical about Jack Grealish, but as we've seen, we are all having to kind of go with budget options at times. And I think now, all of a sudden at Villa, there are a few different options. And the one that, if I am going to go without Grealish, which is looking less likely to be honest, but if I am going to go without him, I'd go for John McGinn. He's just 5.5 million, owned by just over 1%, and he has been ignored, mainly due to Grealish. Think how good he was at the start of last season before he got injured. And I just think that we're ignoring the fact that he got 10 points in his last two matches as well. 8 chances created, 3 big chances, which is the second in the league. And of course, they face Leicester next. They conceded twice in each of their last 3 game weeks. So if you do want some Villa cover, I think that he could be a cheaper way into a midfield, even as maybe a fifth midfielder. Potentially, I probably will stick with Grealish, but for those of you that are struggling for funds a little bit, I definitely back McGinn.
Yeah, McGinn's a fine shout as well, and I think Barkley under 6 million, and the talk that Barkley could be on penalties as well. That's the thing with him; we don't know yet who's going to be taking spot kicks for Villa. It could be Grealish, but there's talk that actually he doesn't really fancy them, and Barkley could step in. I saw that it was the Chelsea man on set pieces against Liverpool. So it could be that we see him taking spot kicks. And if that's the case, I think Barkley's going to be the go-to, maybe, even over Grealish.
OK. Who would be your differential pick then, Mark? Or would that be Barkley?
No, I was amazed to see that Souček is only owned by 3.4%. This is a guy who was in a lot of initial lineups, but people are obviously selling him. He's gone down to 4.9 million. Mm. And I look at it and only Barnes and Salah have had more goal attempts than him in midfield. And he's had 9 shots in the box. He's only had 13 touches in the box. 9 of those have been efforts on goal. And every time I see a cross go in from West Ham, which is very often because they put a lot of crosses in, he's in the box with Antonio. It just hasn't dropped for him yet. And I think any week now he's going to get a couple of goals or a goal and an assist. And he's going to fly. He's going to be a bandwagon because players like this at that price, along with Brewster, are gifts to us at this point when we need stronger benches. So I just think Souček is the one.
Brewster, by the way, who's just made that move to Bramall Lane from Liverpool after an excellent pre-season, 4.5 million and 6.3 ownership. So he would qualify for a differential shout as well, particularly since they're facing Fulham this weekend. Jack, who's your differential pick?
I'm going to go to Brighton, and it's Leandro Trossard. Obviously, Brighton's results haven't really clicked yet, but I think they've been very impressive in the final third. I like the fact Trossard has played every minute. That's obviously in his favour. He's got a really good understanding with Neil Mopay, and he's returned in 3 of the 4 games so far. The one he didn't return from was when he hit the woodwork 3 times against Manchester United. He's two-footed, gets into nice positions around the box. I just think he's looked really sparky in the games that I've seen him play so far. And Brighton also have fairly nice fixtures in the next 4 games. They've got Crystal Palace, West Brom and Burnley. I'm not sure I'm going to be bringing him in this week, but I think next week, if Phil Foden doesn't do well, Trossard could be the one I turn to.
I see. Well, next up, we'll hear what moves you are planning to make for this weekend and also who's going to be wearing your armband for Game Week 5. Hurrah, transfers and captains. Mark, what's the move this week?
Well, I did it early. I went Davis to Brewster to get that budget striker in and just strengthen the bench. I mean, Brewster, I think, will figure against Fulham. I don't think he'll start, but you've got to think the money that Sheffield United have spent on him, he's going to be a regular starter for them. Yes, they're not creating much. They're not a team you associate with a lot of goals, but I don't think Sheffield United will go down. And I think Brewster will I think he's got a good chance of getting double figures. And if you're getting double figures from a 4.5 striker, that's going to be good. So that was a move I made quite early on.
Excellent. Kelly? Well, you made all the moves.
Yeah, and it's probably best to ask me what moves I've made during this podcast, to be honest.
Well, yeah, did you actually complete that transfer?
Well, I have done it. I have. I was always going to bring Brewster back in, but I've got rid of Chilwell because, let's be honest, he's not going to go up again, so I'm not going to make any money off him. So I've done Chilwell down to Lamptey, and I've done Davies to Brewster. So I'm relatively happy with my front line at least, but yeah, I've still got to potentially downgrade. Maybe I will go for Souček in midfield to get some funds. Maybe I'll do Grealish down to McGinn, although I really still struggle to see past Grealish. But yeah, in the back line is where I need to get some more money in. Walker-Peters and Lamptey will come in.
Right, okay. With that McGinn-Grealish thing, as you say, I do recall him being so great at the start of last season, but I remember the way he fell off afterwards. I mean, obviously, injury played a part in that, but I would be, if you've got the funds to go for Grealish, I'd have him a million times over McGinn, obviously. Jack, what's your move for this week?
The same as Mark, I think, just because my bench was always cheap, but it's become a little bit more fragile because Harrison Reed was my 4.5 midfielder. Thought he was nailed on for Fulham, but he's lost his place and now picked up an injury, so I can't rely on him too much. Tariq Mitchell could lose his place, as we discussed, and I had Keenan Davis and he's not getting enough game time. So I've just got enough 0.1 in the bank to go from Davis to Brewster. And the fact that he's playing Fulham at home this weekend is just enough to make me do it now rather than roll it over to next week.
Seems fair. Of course, they'll go and win 8-0 Fulham this weekend, the way this season's going. What about captain's armbands then? Mark, who's your choice?
Well, it's on Salah by default at the moment because I think ordinarily I'd put it on De Bruyne. I think it's a good game for him. I think that he's going to have to be influential if City are going to get a result against Arsenal. But with the injury doubt, I think it's going to be on Salah, which, again, I don't think there'll be many goals in that game. But I do think Liverpool will get the result. And I think when they do, Salah's inevitably going to be in the points.
Wow, so against the league leaders, away from home, having suffered a 7-2 defeat last time out, and you're going with Salah as the captain, it's bold.
Reluctantly.
Kelly?
It will either be Salah or Kane. Likely Kane at the moment. But Salah, every single week it's always between Salah and someone else. But I think it will be Kane, but I am also prone to a last-minute captaincy change.
Jack?
I've got it on Son at the moment. He's blanked in his two home games so far, which is a slight concern for me, but I think the fact that he hasn't played international games is in his favour, so he's going to be fairly well rested, and I can see him at least chipping in with a goal or an assist. So after a Jimenez nightmare last week, I'm hopeful of getting a few more points.
Let's hope game week 5 brings some good things to you as well, listener. Remember, get your team sorted by 11 o'clock UK time Saturday morning. And if you'd like some more FPL advice in the meantime, and for example, the excellent FPL show, head over to PremierLeague.com for that and much, much more. Many thanks to Kelly, Jack and Mark for today. Best of luck for the weekend ahead. And listener, we'll catch up with you next week.